You're tuned to 90.7 KRWG Las Cruces. I'm Leora Zeitlin. It's my pleasure to welcome back into our studios Nancy Ritchie. She's the director of the Mesilla Valley Chorale and has been for 16 years. But the Mesilla Valley Chorale has really been a mainstay of choral music in Las Cruces for almost 50 years, coming up on 47 years. And they have a concert coming up this Sunday on Mother's Day, which they do every year, and we're going to hear all about it. Welcome, Nancy Ritchie.
Thank you. It's nice to be here.
It's great to have you back. It's been a number of years.
It has.
But the chorale continues to sing and do wonderful things. Let's start with, before we get to the program, who's in the chorale? How many people? What's the age range?
I'm happy to say that the age range is expanding, but we do tend to be older people, but we're not a senior citizen group by any means. We're a community group for all ages. I have welcomed young people, even if they've come out of high school and want to keep singing and don't know where to go. It's a really fine choral experience with fun, wonderful, good music to sing. So it can be any age that we would welcome.
And how many people are in the group?
It always ranges, seems, between 40 and 50. We have 45 this semester. We haven't continue to get two or three new members per semester, and but you always have somebody that says we're going to China for a month, and so they'll not be. So we have many more members than 45, but it tends to be for all the general reasons of life that we have 45 to 50 voices, which is perfect. It's really a wonderful size group. Especially when you're working on diction, you want every word to sound right with all those voices.
Yes, yes,
but
indeed.
They're just a wonderful group.
All right, tell us about your Mother's Day program.
This program is called Celebrate Music. And one of the things I love about vocal music is that it has expressions of emotions. Now, instrumental is also incredibly beautiful, and I honor that as well. But the vocal music not only gives you the energy and the gorgeous harmonies, but it gives you words that sink in with the same vibration of the music. And so I always love to have a theme and songs that are meaningful, joyful, that touch people's hearts. And this particular concert, while the theme is Celebrate Music, that's very broad. What I'm really celebrating through the particular songs are the good feelings of friendship, of joy and love, and most particularly, a kinder, more tolerant, gentler, loving world. And there are songs that are in here that pull out just beautiful, beautiful thoughts of that. But also fun things like The Golden Girls, Thank You for Being a Friend, which is a great song. Count on Me, a Bruno Mars song. And we have David Engtel from the Las Cruces Ukes, because that song just cried for a uke. It had to have a ukulele in it. And Elena Bailey from Las Cruces High School, she's a junior, plays the oboe beautifully, and she'll be playing with the women when they sing Hope is the Breath of Music. Numerous soloists. Tom Warren is playing bass guitar with a song called Walk a Mile, which is like a spiritual type of upbeat song with crazy rhythms and really fun things in it. But the theme is, walk a mile in your neighbor's shoes. You'll understand him better if you do. Mm-hmm. And so that to me is just, helps us think about how we treat people and how we are with people. We also were talking about imagination and dreams, which music can bring out. We're doing Pure Imagination, the men are, from Willy Wonka, that lets children and people know if you can dream it, you can do it, and it's empowering and it's beautiful.
So you've mentioned a number of tunes from television, from musicals, from pop tunes, spiritual. Are these arrangements, are these songs that are written specifically in choral arrangements?
Or? They are. Mm-hmm. There are a number of wonderful choral arrangers. Some of them that we do are written, and the lyrics are written by the people. Waters Ripple and Flow, which has been around for decades, by Deems Taylor, It's one that I remember from high school that just touches me. It's lush and it's beautiful, and all of the voices are singing interconnected in the most beautiful ways, as actually No Man Is an Island, which is what we're ending with, which certainly lets people know that nobody is alone. We're interconnected, and we need to love and care about each other. And that one I sang in high school.
I did too.
So there are things that come out of my past that are just too rich not to redo sometimes.
Yeah, that's a beautiful song.
We tend to do music. I've done a whole variety of things over the last 16 years, some in languages, some in Latin, and those are fine. But what I've learned is for our audiences, they really like things that are either familiar or something that will have a message that really touches them. And there are, again, some wonderful arrangers. Last May, we did all big band stuff, all things from the 40s and 50s, with gorgeous close harmonies and drum. And we'll have a drum this concert also. Albert Barras is going to do the drums. So we have instruments and soloists and moods and beautiful, beautiful ideas for how to be happy and how to live a happy life.
Tell us about your background. You went to Oberlin, one of the great music schools of our country, and were you a voice major or a choral conducting major? What did you study?
I was a vocal performance major. Mm-hmm. I actually went in as a double major, piano major and voice, because I had taken piano most of my life. But I had a high school, incredible high school chorus director that seemed to take me under her wings and taught me about singing. And I became so enthralled with the human voice that I decided, rather than spread myself so thin between piano and all the performing you have to do and in voice, I just went straight for voice performance. And during that time, for 7 years, when I was in the seventh year, Oberlin went to the Mozarteum in Salzburg, Austria for a year. And I was really, really blessed to have my junior year in Salzburg, Austria. It was an incredible experience. I was in the college choir there, and Robert Fountain at that time was a very well-known choral conductor, and I studied a semester of choral conducting from him. So it's interesting. I watch my students now. I'm retired from teaching, but they're going on into doing some amazing things, and it's fun to be a stepping stone for folks to move ahead with what you've been able to feed to them. And that's what I was given as a young person.
That is wonderful, and wonderful to pass that on. So to run a nonprofit or an organization or an ensemble, there's a lot of behind-the-scenes work also.
Very much.
So are your singers also stepping in as board members, helping to order the music, programs?
I have a wonderful board. Uh-huh. And they all have their own, jobs that they do. I've got someone that does media, Pam Smith. Reldon Beck is our president, and he takes care of taking care of the insurance issues for the theater and printing the tickets. Tom Warren does our website and our programs. Meredith O'Connell is the treasurer and does everything. And Kathy Von Ende, our librarian. We're very organized with having the kits ready for everybody and collecting the $55 when we start. And everybody has their own job. A lot of the things I take care of. I take care of the contracts with the theater. And I tend to be the initial one to put a program together. And then Judy Bethman, my assistant, comes in and we talk about how that fits. And then I bring Laura Lose in, that's the accompanist. And are these all doable? But it's something that I really can relate to and love to put a program together that has all the different moods, all the different things that the most people possible will find something to enjoy mm-hmm. in there. Yeah. So I feel I'm very well supported. And now that we're storing our risers, I have a little committee of guys that has to pick those up and take those to the storage. And so I do have wonderful help.
Mm-hmm. Well, and that's wonderful.
Oh, they're great people.
You know, I think people may not realize that when an ensemble is going to perform a piece of music, a song, whatever, it's not like you can just say, hey, everybody, we're doing this song. You have to purchase the music or rent the music. There are performance rights involved. Walk us through that process just for a moment.
Okay. I use online a couple of different websites that I order the choral music from. And they're good about the fact, most of them are good about the fact that if I don't use them or I don't need all of them, I can return them and get credit, which is helpful because I plan for a certain number of people, and sometimes it's more and sometimes it's less. And as far as the ordering of the music, my librarian picks it up from there when we get it, and she plans the kits so that everybody has the music. But we are a nonprofit, but we are not a formal 501c3. Mm-hmm. So in order to keep the finances going for our particular organization, I have the dues set per person per semester at $55. I don't want to raise that. We have the ticket price set at $10. I don't want to raise that. And so as expenses increased and as the cost of music has absolutely skyrocketed, and we do buy our own music, people say, well, why don't you just get a copy digitally and Xerox it? Xeroxing music for 45 to 48 people is not a great thing. So what we've come to do is they own their music. So I want that so that they can mark it up any way they want to. Mm-hmm. But if they decide they have more than they need or they don't have anything to do with it, they turn it back in. And my librarian, Kathy Von Ende, and I have created a library of music that, as long as it's clean, and we can do it, I have the whole inventory on my computer. Mm-hmm. And that's a place for me to go to say, oh, we have 30 copies of this. This would be perfect for that song. So it helps with the expenses. But what has really helped us is our sponsors. We have a sponsorship program that from a dollar up to $1,000 or more, whatever they're able to give, those dollars help us meet expenses for the music and the theater. And we have a small stipend, and I emphasize that, for our four people in our musical team. There are two directors, myself and Judy Bethman, and then two accompanists. Laura Lose is the main accompanist, and Karen Warren does the men's group. When you have a men's choir and a women's choir, you need a director and an accompanist for that group while they're rehearsing. And then I do the women, in another place. And it brings more interest to our programs if you can do that, but you need to have the musical support. I am so proud of my musical team and so honored to work with them. It's what helps make the whole experience for our people richer, by having good musicians to lead them. And it's just, it's a gift to whoever sings. And I always say, this will keep you young. And I do breathing. Mm-hmm. I do breathing exercises. And the oxygen that you feed into your body when you're singing is amazing. They come in Monday nights and they're a little weary from the day, whatever that has been. And I promise you, within an hour or more, we are riding high. Mm-hmm. And they go out of there feeling wonderful because the music is joyful. My style of directing and teaching them is pure joy because I love it so much. And so it really is a healthy, happy, wonderful hobby to have. It's just great.
It's the Mesilla Valley Chorale, and their Mother's Day concert is this Sunday at 3 o'clock at the Rio Grande Theater. I've been talking to Nancy Ritchie, the director, for the last 16 years, but the group's been going on for 47 years. Mm-hmm. So many generations of singers, and I hope you have a wonderful concert and a lot of new people want to join.
Thank you, Leora. I appreciate the time. Thank you.
Thank you.